Oh, I got one. Certainly appreciate the good singing this morning, the song selection, the good prayer by Brother Hunter, and appreciate the thoughts Brother Joe's brought before us this morning. I didn't realize I was aggravating him. I will tell you, from my perspective, I was learning right alongside him. I mean, that's the way I was looking at it, and I did. I learned some things, and we all have so much to learn. And Brother Joe's got a wonderful gift, his earthly occupation of being a chef, because there are so many similarities to studying God's Word and preaching to preparing a meal. You know, you go to a restaurant and have a plate of food, you go back and trace back what it all took for that food to get on your plate. There's a lot involved in it. And if someone's going to preach the gospel to God's people, that's not just a show up and do it. There is a lot involved in that. And cooking's an art. And I would say preaching is also an art. And I can't really relate. I'm an engineer. I like math and science. I like black and white. And I can't relate as well. And it has been a blessing to me to be able to study God's Word with Brother Joe. And I actually came here intending to give him some homework, but I'm going to give him a break. You know, he's got to fill in for me next Sunday. And I don't want to steer him in that. I'm going to let the Lord handle that, and I'm going to give him the week off. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, like to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 19. Yesterday we had basketball games at the Upward, at First Baptist Church in Brookhaven, the Upward League. And at halftime they will have someone come out and give a devotion. And I have really enjoyed those. There's been a lot of good things said, and this past yesterday at Levi's game, the man gave a talk, and Jenny and I both enjoyed it, and she said, "You need to preach on that one day." Well, Lord be our helper, I'm going to try and do just that for just a few moments here in Matthew chapter 19. We're all familiar with this account, I'm sure. We'll read these verses very quickly, beginning in verse 16 about the rich young ruler. It says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now, the point that was made yesterday at halftime was that a good coach and a good team at halftime will make adjustments so that they'll come out in the second half and perform better than they did in the first. And it takes a good team to listen to their coach to keep from repeating the same mistakes of the first half. Now, the point the fellow was making was this man was coming to Jesus for instruction. There was something missing, something lacking in his life. And, you know, I think you and I can relate to this man because he came and he was missing something that only Jesus could provide for him. Now, I think he came to him with the wrong question. And I would say that a lot of time players go to their coach with the wrong question. Now, we've tried coaching in the past, and our players sometimes will ask us things that we don't want them paying attention to. We don't want them worrying about. We had a team one time. They were down 12 runs in baseball. And they said, "Coach, are we going to lose?" I said, "I don't know if you are or not." I said, "I've come back from worse deficits, and I believe you can too. All you got to do is your job right now. Do your job right now, and let the scoreboard turn out how it is. And we came back and won. And I always reminded them of that. They're looking so far out in the field. Are we going to lose? Well, the game's not over yet. The game is not over yet, and so you got to keep playing. Important job is for you to do your responsibility, to do your job, and to do it right. And, you know, if in this scenario, Jesus is our coach, Jesus is our leader, Jesus is the one who's telling us what to do, we got to listen to Him. And that song we sang this morning, "Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me," that tells me that He is the one in control. He's the one that is telling us what we should do and calling the shots and can guide us. And that song Sister Debbie selected this morning also says Jesus is our example. So it's not just that He's the coach, but He really couldn't get on the field and do any better than we are. He's our example. He's already done better than we can. I remember when I was a boy, I used to like watching Larry Bird. He was a really good basketball player for the Boston Celtics. But, you know, he started coaching later. He coached for Indiana Pacers, I believe. And I remember one time they showed a time when one of his players, Reggie Miller, I think, shot the ball right as the buzzer went off. And it went in and everyone was cheering. And they showed the Larry Bird on the camera and they rewound it. And he looked and saw the basket go in. And that was it. He didn't have any emotion. He didn't have any reaction. And everyone was like, how could he? And they said, well, he's made enough of those in his lifetime. It's just not a big deal to him anymore. Well, you know, sometimes we want a little recognition and credit for how we're doing. And sometimes we get a little overboard on that. And sometimes we're not doing enough. And here this man comes to Jesus asking Him what that he needs to do. Well, this is what he's done in the first half. You know, if you're a young person, this man was a young man, and it's never too early to start. You don't have to wait till halftime. You know, I am middle-aged. I don't know how much of my life I got left. I guess I'm halfway. It's halftime. But if you're a young person, you don't just start listening to your coach at halftime. You need to be listening the whole time. And I'll tell you, this scenario kind of fails a little bit because when it comes to a coach, he can't get out on that field and play for those players. But when it comes to Jesus, that's a different story. You know, Levi's basketball coach, she's as competitive as we are, and we really relate to her. And we can tell by the look on her face how she's feeling about the game. And I think sometimes she just wants to just get all the opposing players and bind them up and just let her players play. Of course, she wants to win fair and square, but if she could do it, I think she'd do it. Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to Jesus, that's exactly what He does for us. Here we are battling the flesh and the devil and the world. You know, He can bind all those enemies so that we can just go on without any hindrance. He can do that, and He does do that. The Lord helps us through our daily struggles and our daily life. But the part we'd like for us to consider this morning is what are we to do to finish out this race that we have set before us? What are we to do to do better in the second half or even in the first half or in the fourth quarter? What are we to do? You know, Jesus tells this man something. He says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And now shall have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Now, the question is, do we need to do that? Do we need to sell everything we have and give it to the poor? And do we need to do that? I'm going to tell you something that's very important and interesting. And that is your life and your course and what the Lord puts upon you is different from what He puts on me. What the Lord told this man to do doesn't necessarily apply to you or me. I remember one time Peter was told by Jesus how he was going to die when he was old. And when Jesus told Peter that, he turned and pointed to John and says, well, what about this guy? You know, sometimes I'm not going to say we're nosy, but we just want to know about this other person. Well, what about this guy? You're telling about me. You know, if you're going to be a good disciple of Jesus Christ, the one you need to be concerned about is yourself. The one you need to worry about pleasing the Lord is not what everyone else is doing, but what you're doing. This man was told what he was to do. Back up with me to Matthew chapter 16, and I want to notice what Jesus tells all of us to do. If we are going to finish our course with joy, just as the Apostle Paul told the ministers at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, that he wanted to finish his course with joy. Don't you want to finish your course with joy? Don't you want to get to the end of your days and say, like the Apostle Paul, I fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith, and now I know that there is a crown of righteousness laid up in heaven for me. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to live your life with no regret? I had football coaches that told me in the fourth quarter, you leave it all on the field. You give it all you got. I know you're tired. I know it's tough, but you give it all you got. You're at the end. You got to keep fighting. And I'll tell you, when it comes to us and battling against the devil and even our own flesh, you never stop fighting. You never quit. That's the worst thing that a player can ever do is quit. I remember Jenny had some softball teammates when she was playing, and they'd be getting beat so bad that they hit it to the outfield all the way to the fence, and they would walk to go and get that ball. I tell you, you don't ever quit. When it comes to your race and life, you never quit. Your life does not end the moment you graduate high school or you get married, or that you're just beginning when you start hitting those milestones. And this is what Jesus says we're to do in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, here's what he's to do. Let him, one, deny himself. Two, and take up his cross. Three, and follow me. Here's your three steps this morning. If you want to make the adjustments in your life that you need to make to do better than maybe you did in the past, this is the three things to do. First is you need to deny yourself. You know, this world will teach you to love yourself. Socrates said, know thyself. You know, that's an impossible thing to ever know yourself. Apostle Paul said in Romans 7 that I hate, that's what I do, and that I would not, that's what I'm doing. He can't even figure out himself. But Jesus says, deny yourself. Deny yourself. You know you have to do that daily. Daily, our natural tendency is to put ourself first. That's our natural tendency. I mean, we're born into this world like that. If we don't get what we want, we just start crying until someone gives it to us. That's how we're born into this world. Well, I'm going to tell you, daily we need to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. We should rather be more concerned about pleasing and glorifying God and doing what He would have us do than whatever we want to do for ourselves. You know, sometimes the time comes when people stand in need of your help on a regular basis, and you've got to make some sacrifices, give up some things. You know, Jenny and I, when we got married, we were still pretty young at heart, and we went 5 years before we had children because we didn't want them. not that we didn't want the children we have now, but we were having too much fun. We were having too good of a time, just doing whatever we wanted to do. Nothing was tying us down. Do we want to go here this weekend? All right, let's go. Well, I'm going to tell you, we can't just pick up and go now. We can't just go do whatever we want to do now. Now we've got responsibilities, and we've got to deny ourselves some things in order to make sure their upbringing is where it needs to be. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to following after the Lord and doing what we have to do, that needs to be our attitude towards ourselves. Deny yourself. It takes humility, self-sacrifice, and take up your cross. Take up your cross. What does that mean? You know, the cross used to crucify people, that basically means a death sentence. That's an instrument of cruelty, and you have a cross to bear, and I have a cross to bear, and whatever that cross is to bear, Jesus says, take it up. Take it up. Your cross is planted in the ground, and we're just traveling through this world, Now I'm going to tell you, the world wants to put you on that cross and keep you in one place. You think the world and the devil and your own flesh wants you here this morning? You think the devil is pleased with you being here this morning? You've taken up your cross this morning to get to this place. It's taken a great effort on your part, and I'm glad you have. I'm glad you're here. There's a lot of things that you could pile up a list of. You know, some people tell me they don't have excuses, they have reasons. And you could pile them up for why you're not here, why you're not reading your Bible, why you're not doing what the Lord would have you to do. You've got to take up your cross and follow Him. Jesus is our example. Jesus showed us how we are to live. Jesus Himself was baptized. If you haven't been baptized yet, just know that's a way in which you're not following Him. If Jesus went about doing good, if we don't go about doing any good, that's a way we're not following Him. Jesus went about preaching the gospel. You know, you don't have to get behind a pulpit to preach the gospel. Do you realize that all of you are preachers? You are preaching sermons every single day. And sometimes you open your mouth. You're preaching a sermon by the way you live, your feet, and where you walk, and how you walk, and what you say. That's preaching a sermon. If you're going to follow Jesus, He went about speaking God's Word. Jesus resisted the devil and his temptations. We should follow Him. He is our example. In every sense of the word, He is our example. He is one that can give us the adjustments we need to make in our life. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus tells us in the next two verses, the crossroads where we're at. Notice verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If you're willing to give up everything you have for Jesus, you know what you're going to find? Your life. You're going to find the abundant life. But if you say, no, my life is my own, I want to do what I want to do, you know what you're going to end up having? You're going to lose the very thing you're trying to keep. If you say, this is mine, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want to do, you're going to lose the very thing you're trying to keep. Verse 26, for what is a man profited? What's the point? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's your soul worth this morning? What price would you put on your soul? Because I'm going to tell you, the world and the devil are not going to pay you what you think your soul is worth. But I'm going to tell you who truly knows the value of your soul, and that's the Lord, because He knows that it costs the precious blood of His own Son to purchase your soul. I'll tell you, for you and I, if we're going to make these adjustments in our life, we need to listen to our leader, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us to do just that. May the Lord help us and bless us in that regard. And I thank you for your good attention this morning.